Education has always been something that we've practiced traditionally, and this is something that you might not realize as an individual, but it is a traditional practice because we have the classical way of doing education where you go to preschool and then you go to grade one and make your way all up to grade 12. And after that, you start pursuing your tertiary education, whether it's in a college, a university, or whatever the case may be. And then further than that, you can decide whether you want to get whatever post-grad qualification you might want in order to make yourself more desirable to your market. Now, the reason that I say that education in past times has always been, we've always had a more traditional approach to it. Think of how whenever young people reach their rite of passage, right? Communities and different cultures, different races, different provinces, especially here within South Africa, have their own ways of celebrating that rite of passage, right? Whenever you reach a certain age, some throw a braai, some go to the mountains, some throw a party. Some of us even have that when you turn 21, we're going to have a huge party for you and we give you this golden key written 21. That's a traditional practice. Now, to what degree that traditional practice is incorporated into your culture is a completely different conversation. And the argument I'm making here is that we have treated education in the same way, that you have to go through the classical way of educating yourself, go to a government or a private school, and then go through grade 1 to 12, finish that, and then following that, go to your tertiary. We treat it as though this process has to happen once you reach this age, and that's why I use the word tradition. But of course, it's not the classical definition of tradition. By any means. What are the conversation that I wanted us to have around that concept or that idea is this. We're going to have to start learning to think differently about education. This is not to say that we need to skip or avoid or not do the traditional approach to getting educated, doing your grade 1 to 12. No, what we're going to have to do now is incorporate that with the other ways and other forms of learning, and especially for those of us who are unable to afford tertiary education, we're going to have to start thinking out the box and looking into the different ways in which we can educate ourselves and normalize those experiences. I think that's what's going to be the biggest challenge. Looking at a course on your computer and understanding that it is just as legitimate as whatever course you could have done with any varsity institution. Not to mention the fact that a lot of varsities are now offering online courses at a fraction of the price of doing the course physically at that university. You can go study coding and programming with Harvard because they're offering those courses online. So do sit down and rethink, and we need to reshape the way we understand what education, being educated means, right? And you know, human beings usually find it very hard to reimagine, and because we love doing things in the classical manner, in the traditional manner, because it's safe, because it's trusted, because we grew up with it, because we know who endorses it. And once things start to shift, most of us only start to really take that shift seriously when bad things start happening to the old classical ways of doing things. And I understand that. I completely do understand why we think that way. Because I mean, studying has always been going to an institution that has a physical building or buildings that you can actually go and meet someone in person education with a teacher in standing in front of the class. But we should always be thinking about reinventing ourselves because the world is not considerate when it decides to reconsider to reinvent itself. Before you know it, you will find that you are light years behind what other people in other countries know and understand and how they educate themselves and build skills within themselves simply because you failed to think out the box of what education has become, right? Now, I need to make a few disclaimers just so we're all on the same page, right? First of all, I'm not saying that we need to do away with the way that we've done education through institutions and going to buildings. And I'm not saying that those institutions are should be discredited in any ways. They are still legitimate. They still have very qualified individuals who are able to give very good education. And I know that a lot of us are thinking right now, like, but our education system really isn't the best right now. Those of us who are here in South Africa. And I understand that. I completely understand that. But it needs to be made clear what I'm not saying and the type of conversation we will not be having tonight. We will not be talking about how, you know, the we should avoid or run away from institutions or talking about any conspiracies. But what we will be doing is inviting and introducing ourselves to this new and emerging way of educating ourselves, where you can be in one country and get an education from another country at the fraction of the price, as long as you have discipline, consistency, and an internet connection. This is definitely something that I've become very passionate about because I've learned so many skills on the internet that have definitely converted and translated into monetary gains for myself, earning me some form of income. And that has been exciting, extremely, extremely exciting for me. Every time I see that happen in my life, I'm excited. There's a lot of skills that I've used that I now use at work at the office that I learned from online online education or educating myself on the internet. And that's what I want us to open our eyes to, that whether you're a person who cannot afford tertiary education, whether you're a person who is at work and you want to learn certain skills and familiarize yourself with a particular jargon in your industry and see what the trends are and what's changing, the internet is there for you. So now let's move into talking about where are those places. How do you know whether an educational platform can even be trusted? And this is the difficult part of this conversation, right? Because that's where now you need to do your homework, right? And in other instances, I mean, the worst case scenario is you landing on a scam site and assuming that you've landed on a legitimate website. This is something that we all need to look out for. It can happen with any other website. You could think that you're shopping on a whatever supermarket you shop on, and only to find that it's actually a scam site created by someone who only just wants you to put your credit details and boom, your credit card details and boom, they have access to all your money. These are things we need to be vigilant about. Now, I use a certain select few. Google has their Google Skills for Africa platform where you can learn a lot. In fact, Google has many of them. Recently, I stumbled upon a website that Google has you can search for all of these. I won't be able to remember all the names of all these platforms, especially given the time we have. But Google has a website where you can do an interview on the website. It teaches you how to prepare yourself for whatever interview you might be going to at whatever company. So it doesn't matter what job you're doing. You just go there, tell them what it is you're doing, and then it starts formulating questions for you to help you prepare for that interview. That is an incredible, and considering that it's free as well, right? Like that is incredible. It's amazing. So there's that. There's Digital Skills for Africa, where Google teaches you how to do digital marketing for free. How to do social media campaigns that are profitable and that can benefit a company. You can go on to Udemy, which is a very trusted platform, which I believe is endorsed by FNB, if I remember correctly. So that's another thing that you need to look out for whenever you stumble upon a platform that you might not know. You need to consider which company is endorsing the platform. In fact, you can even go on to and search for Harvard free online courses. And then you will definitely stumble upon even, and not just Harvard, but many of these online institutions have very, very, very complete courses that can teach you real skills that you can use in order to better your life and create value in a certain institution. Another thing to definitely look out for are reviews. Whenever you stumble upon a site, do your homework, be diligent enough to read people's reviews of whatever platform you're using. For me, there's also been YouTube, where I've literally learned so many skills. I've learned how to do video editing, how to work with sound, how to record my own voice, how to master my voice and engineer it. All of that I've learned through just the free academy that is YouTube, which is why I gladly pay the YouTube premium subscription as well. So the real question right now is, for this year, what are some of the courses or some of the skills you want to pick up and learn, because you know they'll add value in your life somewhere down the line? And which platform are you going to start using in order to start acquiring those skills?
The future of education, young people should have a more personalized approach to education is our theme for this evening, and I want to share with you my approach to education and that which I have done for my studies and how I've approached it, and I feel that it is very, very well. So, what the world has changed into the last couple of years, and it's due to COVID partially, I believe, is that we've migrated from a classroom scenario into a I almost want to say workforce scenario, but in a work group scenario. And the reason, or what I'm trying to say by that, is that we've moved in from a group that you need to be forced to sit in class in order for you to proceed schooling. We've moved from that into an area where you can be at home working on your own computer and you are in a work group of people doing certain assignments together. And I believe that that is a very, very healthy way for us currently to approach it. For the reason, then, that you are working with a community of people that might not necessarily be your direct community. You might be sitting in Mossel Bay and you're working with someone from Umtata, and that means that your horizons are being broadened into the way that there are certain limitations by your community or threats in your communities or whatever might be, just be the challenges in your community. You need to see and are able to see that there are different needs and different challenges in various other parts or other communities within South Africa. That is a very good thing, I think, to approach. But we've also realized with our schooling system and with the work group system that you can't lie and cheat necessarily on a computer like used to be when we did the class school or the school classing and working together in a group, and then one person were allowed to do all the work and the other people just can share the points with that. That no longer applies, because a computer, by means of the way that it's saving and running, is actually able to save the amount of time that you've spent on the computer doing your work. In other words, the amount of time that you sat on the computer and you were actually doing research and typing and compiling all these things. Teachers nowadays have access to that, and I think that is a very good thing. So now that you are forced to sit and work into a certain degree, you're forced to be honest with the amount of work that you do, you will be more sociable, because then you're sitting and you're working with more people and you are greatly or working closer together with more people. And I believe that it's a very good thing, and I think that it's a healthy thing, and I think it's something that is assisting South Africa and the world currently with the way that we approach schooling. Not only that, your social skills will be upped, because we are learning that emotional intelligence can be and should be just as important as your normal intelligence or your intelligence quotient, your IQ, the olden way of saying it, right? We need to learn how to work with people in order for them for the greater good of the community to reach the potential and to reach the goal that has been set before us. And that is a very new way of approaching schooling, and I believe that is one of the greatest ways that we can have this social stature that's being approached and preached in schools that will change the way that we do schooling. However, unfortunately, online bullying has been on the increase, like on the up and up since forever. And now we don't necessarily find bullies in schools anymore. You do find them, but you find them online. Great deal. You find more of them online. And people that won't be physically be able to bully you at school, unfortunately, is now able to bully you from behind a keyboard. And that is a bad thing. Have a look at any influencer. Have a look at anyone that's on YouTube and the way that they approach YouTube and talk about YouTube or whatever. You can see, sort of, and to a certain degree, you can see the amount of fear that they have, their inner desire to be accepted and loved by the internet, and they refer to the internet almost as if the internet is a community, and they need to have this desire and acceptance from the community. And that is, unfortunately, by way of us using technology in our education system, in our schooling system currently, that will also have a great effect in South Africa and how we approach it. But then, last thing that I want to mention is that you and I need to sit and we need to consider and realize, like, the schooling system is changing. The entire system of education is changing. We need to be open for that change. I sat with a grandma not too long ago, well, probably a couple of months ago, and she said to me, like, it's sad that her grandchildren can't properly hold a pen and they can't properly write and stuff like that. And she's saddened by it and says, what's going to become of them in this world? And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this lady. I'm like, why is it sad? Because nobody uses pens anymore. It's not that sad. If they can type, they're well away. We don't need to write physical letters anymore. We don't need to physically fill in forms anymore. Everything is done electronically. So people like me who has terrible handwriting is actually on the up and up. I'm doing a lot better now that I can type and everyone can actually read what I'm typing, right? And I can go back and I can see whatever I've typed out and it's able to be easily read, whereas that wouldn't have been the case where I just had to use my hand and a pen, and people obviously complained a lot saying, like, listen, this is not working anymore. Nobody can read what you're saying. So, as a young person, I'm asking you this: embrace the change in the education system and be open for social schooling by means of doing online classes.